there is some compensation from the government of Canada heading towards those who lost family members in that plane crash over Iran, that plane that was leaving Tehran. $25,000 for each of the families. Now, of course, this is a very complicated situation, and any sort of plane crash is a complicated legal situation. I want to talk to Rod Windsor about that, who, of course, is a lawyer with the folks over at Blaney's Aviation Law Group, joins us on the line right now to have a conversation about what the responsibilities of everyone involved are and how you sort of cut through a very tragic time when this sort of thing occurs. Rod, thank you so much for doing the show with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So your reaction to what the government has put forward here when it comes to the plane crash in Iran, $25,000 per victim, is that not a dissimilar number to what folks would normally get? Obviously, the Canadian government putting that up means that they're not convinced they're going to get that from private entities or certainly the Iranian government.
Well, I think the government's response is a response to the short-term financial needs of families. What happens in these cases is that there are a number of expenses that are incurred. There's an interruption of income and so on that happens right after the crash. And so that's, I think, the thinking behind the government's agreement to do this. The airline itself, in previous cases, has done similar things, provided funds to families to help them adjust. It's not intended to be compensation in the long run. That will come in other ways, and the numbers will be much greater.
Okay, so from either the airline or Iranian government, obviously, because it was they've admitted fault to the fact that plane went down, so or maybe both, of course.
I think the both is the important thing. A lot of the commentary that we see in the media has been misleading in a couple of ways. First of all, it suggests it's an either-or, and it most certainly is not. And secondly, there have been some suggestions that have questioned the ability to get fully compensated damages from the airline. The airline has a legal duty to pay compensation regardless of fault, and fault only enters into it in a secondary phase, which gets complicated. But the bottom line is that I have no doubt that the families are going to get full damages under Canadian law from the airline, and that has to be and should be the primary focus of all the families.
Yeah, certainly. How different is this case compared to other situations where there's some sort of a plane crash? Because typically we may not know for a long time as far as why the plane went down. Now we know, hey, someone fired a missile. They said they shouldn't have done it, but they did it. It's a little bit different than what we would normally deal with here, right?
Well, sadly, you know, when I started doing these cases, that was still an era where most crashes resulted from either equipment failure or pilot failure. Mm-hmm. For the last few decades, what we've seen is that this is all too typical. These crashes result from attacks on aircraft, either by missiles, by bombs, or by hijackers. And, I haven't done a statistical analysis, but that seems to be the new normal. So we have experience dealing with these. It does change things. But fortunately, thanks to the convention, which apply to this, we do have pathways to get compensation for families, and that involves, as you say, primarily the airline, but also Iran.
Yeah, you mentioned that we had a bit of a blueprint here as far as how this sort of thing can and should work. Sadly, like you said, the reality is we're having to use the blueprint where someone brought this plane down on purpose a little more frequently than we had in years past.
That's right, and these are difficult. I mean, the two of the early ones I was involved in were examples of this, Air India and Korean Airlines. And the Korean Airline ones in particular was very similar, a state shooting down an aircraft, innocent people killed for no good reason. And it does raise certain problems. Iran is different than the Soviet Union. This time is different. We do have a couple of precedents where states have paid substantial compensation, and we will see whether, you know, how that works out over the next little while. But again, I repeat, it's not either or. The families who are entitled to sue in Canada, and that is a very large number of them, whether they live in Canada or not, the family members, it's according to the convention rules. If they can sue in Canada, then they will receive full damages under Canadian law from the airline. And anything from Iran would be in addition to that.
It's interesting to note that. Then these families obviously just been going through an incredibly difficult time, sort of in front of in front of the world here. I can't really imagine what they're going through, but I know that you've represented people who are in this spot before. What can you tell us about again, not these particular families, but what it would be like for some of these folks who are dealing with this?
Well, you know, obviously, whenever you lose a family member, it's difficult, and there is matters that arise from that. But I think what's different in these cases is a couple of things. First of all, they're the most unexpected deaths imaginable, and I think that creates some difficulties for the families. But also, the just complete inability to understand or accept why this happened. It should never have happened. This was easily avoidable by a number of different people. A number of people have contributed to this tragedy. And as a family member, it's this frustration and in some cases anger, knowing that it should never have happened. I think that makes it much more difficult to deal with. And I think it drives the families to seek the truth. It seeks and seek accountability. Compensation matters and matters a lot, particularly where there are large financial losses. But the seeking the truth and seeking accountability, I find in these circumstances, are really important to families, and it would be to me.
What advice would you have for folks who are in this situation right now, who are wondering, but not, I mean, perhaps about their legal options or whatever it happens to be?
Well, I think, you know, as a lawyer, it's always uncomfortable saying this, but the truth of the matter is that they should get lawyers without any delay, because the sooner they start the claims process, the sooner it'll be finished. So that's the first advice. And again, it you know, I am uncomfortable saying this, but the truth is, because these cases are dealt with not in accord with the rules that apply to any other death in Canada, this was not just a flight but an international flight, and that means that all the rules that apply to questions such as who can sue, where you can sue, when you can sue, who has to pay, who has to prove fault, or do you have to prove fault at all, these questions are all determined by the convention. So it is a specialized area in law, and my own advice would be to get someone who is familiar with this.
Look, I know that there are a lot of people that have said, from a foreign policy perspective, the actions of the United States are, you know, sort of the start of what led to the conditions that that brought this plane down. Does that matter here from a legal perspective at all? Some of that political stuff there.
The core claim against the airline has some political involvement in aspect, but it's limited. But when you get beyond that, yes, it does. I mean, one of the things that I've seen in these cases is that they don't happen in isolation. They happen in a certain environment. You have trigger-happy people because of the environment. If you track back the language that was being thrown back and forth in the couple of weeks before this happened, it is so irresponsible. And, you know, one of the things that I like to look at is lessons we can learn from these and things. In terms of lessons in the future, you know, I would like to think we're going to learn lessons, and we've got to stop raising the temperature gratuitously. That was going on. And it's, you know, I'd like to think we've learned from this experience, questions whether we will, but at some point, I hope we will start to learn these lessons. But yes, it does affect all of this, is interrelated, although the core claim against the airline is a more focused. But once we get beyond that, absolutely all these things arise. And what you see is the governments have been involved in this. They've reacted very differently in the past. So we'll see how the governments react in this case.
I know this is a question that probably has a lot of different answers, but I'll ask it anyway. How long do the families get their real compensation, the number beyond that $25,000? We're probably talking years and years, right?
Well, you know, that's sort of the consensus in the media. And I think, first of all, it's not correct. And secondly, I think it's very dangerous to do that, because these beliefs can become self-fulfilling prophecies. You have to break it down. There are short-term financial needs. You've got the government of Canada already providing some. The airline may well do so. They certainly should. But in terms of the claim against the airline, these claims can be settled within months if the airline cooperates. And we have some precedence for that. More realistically, I think looking at a two-year period for settlement of those cases. And in the worst-case scenario, if they actually have to be tried, and I don't think these will, we're probably looking at about double that, or approximately 4 years. The time frame for the claim against Iran is really unknown. you know, I describe this as the families have two roads in front of them, and one is long and winding, and you're not quite sure what is at the end of the road. That's the claim against Iran. But the families will probably not get to control that. They'll have input on that through the Canadian government, but they will not control it. The Canadian government will be front and center on that. The other one is actually a fairly straight, fairly short road, and that is the claim against the airline. And that, you know, we've done these over and over again, and we know how to do them efficiently and quickly and effectively. And I think, you know, if we can get on with these claims, that actually the family should be quite optimistic about getting compensation fairly quickly on those.
I would hope the very same. And I'm not going to lie, just from the perspective of most of us in the public, and I guess you'll disagree with this. In fact, I'm quite sure you will. Usually when someone says, oh, lawyers are involved now, well, that means for a lot of folks it takes a very long time. But based on what you're telling us here, that's not necessarily the case.
No, I'll tell you, the airline, I mean, I've already been in contact with the airline's lawyer. They've already got a Canadian lawyer. You know, legal proceedings can mess things up, but they don't have to. You have good lawyers with some good intentions trying to protect their clients on both sides. Mm-hmm. These things should be resolved.
Well, I very much hope that's the case. Rod, thank you so much for this. I'm really glad you could spend a few minutes with us. It's an important conversation. Thank you very much for giving us some time.
You're very welcome.
All right, that's Rod Windsor, who, of course, is with the folks over at Blaney McMurtry, and he's part of their aviation law group there. So he's got a specialization, one that really matters based on what's gone on recently.